All right, welcome to Team 33. Raf Diallo here, and we're delighted to be joined by Martin Reusser from the Ipswich team of the late 90s, early 2000s, that played in the Premier League, finished fifth. Also, he was part of the Ajax team and squad that enjoyed a lot of success in the mid-90s, also was capped by the Netherlands, and is now the Netherlands under-15 head coach. He's with me on the line at the moment, straight from the Netherlands. Martin, I guess to start off, you're the head coach, as I said, of the Netherlands under-15s, and your coaching career started with coaching your son's team and then working with other teams, but was it always an ambition to get into management and coaching?
Absolutely not. When I was a football player, I always was in a fight with the managers because I had a big mouth.
Yeah.
I was young and I thought I knew everything best. And of course, I was listening to the manager what he was saying, but sometimes you get fed up by the words they're always saying. So my first ambition was absolutely not become a manager. But when I stopped, let's say 10 years ago, I first did absolutely nothing. I did some television work. But after a year or so, I said to myself, okay, what I'm going to do now? My son was six at that moment, so I started to give him coaching lessons in football. And after a while, I felt it was really nice to do something for the younger kids, and it kick-started from there.
Yeah, and here in Ireland, because I interviewed the Ireland under-15 head coach just in November, so it's kind of your contemporary. And one of the things we talked about, and because we've taken a few things from the Dutch system as well because of how well it works, the idea of how important it is that winning isn't the most important thing at that age group, is that part of your philosophy as well as you coach these under-15s?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, first of all, especially when you are young, but I think also when you are a professional player, having fun and doing something what you love to do every day, that's something you should try to achieve every day. But if you are winning, it's also a success feeling. So that's also something strange that if you are developing players and you're doing that well, that is in line with winning as well. So that those two things, winning and developing kids, that goes hand in hand, I think.
Yeah, and of course, stereotypically, when we think of the Dutch system, we think about 4-3-3 and obviously passing, movement, technical ability. At that age, are you already kind of trying to instill formations or a certain type of style of game, or is it more individual player development?
Well, our starting point when we are bringing up little youngsters from the age of, maybe they start here in Holland from the age of 4 or 5, we try to do everything with the ball. So a lot of technical exercises. And then after the age of 15, 16, we starting to develop the players within the system. So from the age of 5 till the age of maybe 14, 15, is only doing exercises with the ball. So, so that's why the Dutch players in general are pretty skillful.
Mm. And, of course, you came through that system as well many, many years ago at Ajax, one of the greatest schools in European and world football. And it was just at the start of a great era of success, the next era pretty much after the Cruyff, Neeskens, etc. And we were lucky enough to speak to Johan Neeskens on this show many years ago. But in terms of what you learnt in that Ajax system in the late 80s, early 90s, especially as a hometown boy, what were the principles, and are they much different to what you're kind of trying to instill now?
Well, in the last 5 or 10 years, we've we haven't really dominated internationally anymore. So we said to ourselves here in Holland, okay, what have we done really good in the last 30 or 40 years or so? So let's try to keep that. But what have we lacking in the last 5 or 10 years or so? And that's something we've been looked at, especially with the Dutch FA where I work. And so in general, we are starting with the 4-3-3 system. But we've been changing a little bit that we are diverse in systems, but also in the, if you are playing in a certain position, you have the freedom to go forward, to go left, to go right, but the other players should fill that hole up then in that position. So we give the players more freedom.
Yeah, of course, your time at Ajax, of course, it starts in and around 1993. I think your first league game was a Der Klassiker against Feyenoord. That must have been a bit of a cauldron to start in.
Yeah, well, I think a few days before that, I made my debut in a European Cup game against Besiktas.
Yeah.
So, but my officially competition debut was against Feyenoord, and it was in the Olympic Stadium in Amsterdam, and nowadays they don't play the, any games anymore. The games are all the games are played in the Johan Cruyff Arena. Yeah, that was special. I mean, and it's special. It's also a really long time ago. And I read an article this morning about how less percentage youngsters become a professional football player, and I was lucky to become one, and I was lucky to be a professional football player for 18 years. So I was talented, but I was lucky as well to be in that small group of players who became professional football players.
And what a generation it was. We're talking about people like Patrick Kluivert, Edgar yeah. Davids, Clarence Seedorf, Reisiger, the De Boer brothers, yeah. Van der Sar. Yeah. So it's great to be in and around that. And of course, leading the way, of course, was Louis van Gaal. Especially, he was a young manager at the time as well. How did you find him in terms tactically and, I guess, as a man manager as well?
You mean Louis van Gaal?
Yes, Louis van Gaal.
Yeah. Okay. Louis van Gaal, he was a football player who wasn't really the top football player. So he said to himself, okay, I wasn't really the top football player I maybe wanted to be, but I'm going to be the best manager ever of Holland. And that desire and that... he tried to work with us every day, so he's demanding of being a good football player. He demanded that every day. So talking about tactically, he was really good. But talking about the opponent, the strengths about the opponent, but also the way they played. He was really prepared. So in everything, I never think I had a better manager than Louis van Gaal.
Yeah.
After that.
Yeah, his system at the time, it seems it was 3-4-3, but the midfield is a diamond. So you as a midfielder, I was reading, I think generally you weren't meant to like overlap the wingers. So it seemed it's kind of almost a Cruyffian tactic as well. Wingers play kind of high up. There's a striker who can kind of move around, and then the midfielders who kind of run the game behind.
Yeah, well, let's say if we are in ball possession, we are we went normally with 3-4-3 with an extra midfield player, but the extra midfield player was the, or the left centre half or the right centre half. So the fullbacks were normally then in holding position defensively. But looking at nowadays, you see that the central defenders are 9 out of 10 times staying in the center. But especially the wing backs or the full backs, they are bombing forwards all the time. So
yeah.
That's changed a little bit compared to the system we played with Louis van Gaal.
Mm-hmm. And of course, that system led to the Champions League win in 1995. Your own kind of, I suppose, where you established yourself in the first team would have been the start of the 95-96 season, scored a few goals, assists, and then the injury happens. So this is a collision, and I saw the video of it there recently with Wilfred Brookhouse. The video is quite, in a way, it's just quite disturbing in a way, because obviously we can hear your screams and everything else. At that moment, did you realise just how bad it was? Obviously, it's a broken leg in the end.
I remember, this question has been asked many times, of course. I remember that I couldn't get any air to breathe anymore. I was like somebody's choking me, so I was in that pain. But within a few minutes, they gave me morphine. So they gave me a drug. So after that, I felt much better. And from then onwards, it was like more being in the hospital for 2 weeks and then working at my recovery again. And I think after 8 months or so, I was be able to play my first game again. I think it was in the reserves. But anyway, I think being a professional football player, that goes hand in hand with injuries. And injuries are, if you are out of injuries, that's something that you are learning with your profession. It's almost impossible to not to be injured in your career. So I was unfortunate to have that injury, but I was fortunate that I could play on for, almost 17 years longer.
Yeah, and of course you got capped with the Netherlands as well, which is obviously a great achievement given the type of players that have been in that squad. And it was a great era as well, because you get capped. It's a friendly against Ghana after the World Cup in 98, and this is a team that reached the semi final, penalty kicks away from a World Cup final. Euro 2000, of course, under Rijkaard, again another penalty kick shootout away from reaching a final. I wonder, what were the training sessions like? Because we're talking about some of the great players, and even the likes of Bergkamp, who weren't playing for Ajax at the time.
I remember that when you are training in the national team, you are expecting a really high level, and it was unbelievable high level. But I have to say, when I was training with the national team, I was leveling that high expectations, and I felt really confident that I was gelling within the qualities that was demanding at that time. So it gave me a big confidence boost. But unfortunately, I was only one time national team player, but also it could have been more, it could have been none. I was lucky that I had one cap. Maybe it should have been more, but I was happy that I at least had one cap.
Yeah, and of course, as we talk about the Dutch system and Ajax and everything else, of course, we're talking a few hours after Ajax knocked Juventus out, having knocked out Real Madrid in the Champions League, a huge achievement, new young generation with De Ligt and Frenkie de Jong and the likes.
Yeah.
When you look at them and then you look at your own era, the type of players that have come through, does it kind of bring back memories of what Ajax and the Dutch national team were kind of capable of at the time?
Yeah, I mean, it's great to have a new group of players who are looking as world-class players. I mean, you're just mentioning Matthijs de Ligt and De Jong. De Jong is going to Barcelona, of course. So they've been recognized not only in Holland, but also now in Europe. So the future looks bright again, and it looks just as bright as in our area. And we've been lacking for top talents for the last 5 or 10 years. So hopefully in the next 10 years we can enjoy some talented players again who are look also happy to play. And they still have a lot to prove, as in winning medals, winning Champions League, winning the European final. So hopefully it's been a great achievement for Ajax to reach the semi-finals, but hopefully they're going to even go further. I think they have the qualities. It also depends what Man City does against Spurs tonight. But I think they can reach the finals.
Yeah, and 100%, you couldn't rule them out. I mean, they've shown so much spirit, which is remarkable for what is a very young team. I also wanted to touch on your time, obviously, with Ipswich, which was a very memorable time, especially for here in Ireland. We do follow the Premier League quite closely. But they were in the what is now the Championship, is in the First Division when you first arrived. So the person who scouted you, so it's Romeo Zondervan, right? And yeah, you were at Vitesse at the time. Did you know much about English football at the time, as he scouted you and then tried to bring you on board?
Yeah, well, Kaká was a follower of all top leagues, and at the time the Italian league and the Spanish league and English league was already the top level leagues in Europe. So, but I was more looking also German Bundesliga. So, anyways, I was in a quite dead end position at Ajax. Romeo Zondervan, he was a Dutch scout in Europe, and he saw me play. He knew me as a player, and at that time I was the half year before I went to Ipswich, I was still a national team player of Holland. So he knew my qualities, and they gave me a chance to go to Ipswich, and they said to me, listen, we need one more player, and that player is you, who can bring us to the Premier League. And eventually, after a three-month roller coaster in the First Division, where we ended up at Wembley in the playoff finals, luckily we were enough to get promoted. And since then, I was at Ipswich for 4.5 years.
Yeah, and of course you mentioned the playoff final against Barnsley there. You scored the last fourth goal in the 4-2 win. Is it true, like you said to the, because you'd started on the bench, the Ipswich assistant manager Dale Roberts was sitting beside you. You turned around, I think 7 minutes towards the 90 minutes, and you kind of go, look, bring me on, I'm going to score.
I was really disappointed that I wasn't playing from the start, because at that time I was really playing well, and I had the urge to get Ipswich to the Premier League. But I mean, it's a team effort, and so I was like, okay, being on the bench and try to make an impact when I came on. That was something what's popping into my mind. But to make an impact, you have to play. So I said to Dale Roberts, hey, listen, I feel really good. I think we are under pressure now. If you put me on, I score that goal. So then he said to George Burley, okay, Martin, he's really keen to play. And then he brought me on, and then the rest was history. I scored the winning goal, brought us to the Premier League.
And everyone expected that Ipswich team not to stay up in that season, but yet you confounded expectations more than anything. To finish top five is amazing as a promoted club. When the season started, did you feel that you had enough to actually not just stay up, but actually push on further, as you did?
Well, at forehand, we our goal was to stay up, of course, and looking at our squad, it was a really tight squad. We were really were like a little family, we really were working for each other within that team, and we felt at home at Ipswich. And I remembered that they didn't bring in any new players, so we said to each other, okay, we have to do it with the same squad we had the year before. So we felt like, okay, come on, we have to do it. So let's go for it with 18 or 20 players. And we started to lose the first two games, I think. And then we won. And then suddenly something starting to believe in, okay, we can stay up, but we also know we are a good bunch of players, and that ended up at I think at the last game we couldn't even achieve the Champions League, I remember, but we lost against Derby or drew, but we made a great achievement to reach the European Cup.
Yeah, of course, George Burley was manager at the time, but also someone I did want to bring up, given that he played for Ireland and was one of your teammates, and obviously his surname, Holland, Matt Holland,
yeah.
It's very memorable for a Dutchman, I'd say. But as a captain and a leader, he seemed to have captained every club he was at. What was he like as a teammate and as a leader within that squad?
Yeah, he was really on the pitch. He was like giving the example in the work ethic. So he liked to run a lot, and he tried to help you. He tried to put certain things what the manager said before the game. He tried to put that within the game. So. In work ethic, he was a good example of being a good captain.
Yeah, one of the kind of weird things, I guess, finishing fifth the one season and then obviously not being able to survive the second season. Now there had been changes, and unlike the previous summer, you know, the likes of Finidi George comes in, Matteo Cerini, so the squad has changed a bit. Was it down to just a lack of cohesion, or what do you think made the difference between that fifth place finish and then the relegation the second season?
I think that George Burley wanted to strengthen the squad with any costs. So he was really needed to bring in two or three players. And I thought, if you are bringing in new players, they need to immediately make an impact. And that's what they didn't, which was a shame. So I thought, and I think we could have done it without the extra strength, but you never know whether that's the truth, because that didn't happen. So the second year is always more difficult than the first year, I think. The opponents knew our qualities more, so... At the end of the day, we were 2 points, I think, short of safety, which was a shame. But I think we could have done maybe it without the extra players who've been brought in the beginning of the season.
Yeah, and of course, if we fast forward to nowadays as well, obviously Ipswich have just been relegated at the weekend to the what is League One, or so the old second division in that time. Do you still kind of follow the results, and are you surprised that since Mick McCarthy left, there's been such a decline at Ipswich?
I've been following them, of course, by BBC, and sometimes I saw them play by highlights on the internet. But in the last few years, you've been seeing they've been going more difficulties to stay with that level and to cope with the other teams, because there are a lot of big teams in the championship. So all the teams want to go straight up again to the Premiership, because there is a lot of money involved. So there are a lot of good players. But so I've seen it coming that maybe they're going to be relegated, and unfortunately last week they have been relegated, which. Hurts me, of course, from the inside, because it's a great club, Ipswich, a great area, a great bunch of supporters, and it always hurts when you see your former clubs or relegate or not doing well.
Yeah, and I suppose a final question before I let you go. Obviously, you're the Netherlands under-15 head coach, as we mentioned at the beginning, but in terms of your future in management, do you see yourself maybe one day standing on the sideline at Ipswich leading them out, or is that kind of a pipe dream in the future?
Well, maybe you never know. I mean, it's going really well with my management career, I think. My first goal is to learn youngsters how to become a professional football player, and that gives me a lot of satisfaction. And I think with my UEFA A license, you're not entitled to to become a manager of Ipswich. So maybe in the next few years, I try to get my pro license, and from then onwards, everything can happen. And it's a big advantage that I know the club. But my first years will definitely be more with the Dutch KNVB or the FA to work with youngsters and try to bring in just top-notch players as Matthijs de Ligt and De Jong.
Yeah, well, we'll wish you best of luck with that as well. It's always good to see good Dutch teams coming through. They're always vibrant, play great, good football. And best of luck with your own career as well. Maarten Royser, thanks a million for taking the time to chat to us. Very fascinating career.
Thank you very much.